Be'ezer Hashem, today's daf is daf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara picks up discussing a new topic with on the last line on Chavav Amid Beis, with Shmuel discussing an individual who has to choose between marrying someone who is alleged was Mezana versus the daughter of someone that was Mezana. And Shmuel says, interesting chidush. Amar Shmuel, Yisa Adam Doime. Rashi explains that Doime comes from the word Duma, which means Kalsa, someone who speaks a lot. And that, someone who is constantly hanging out with others, leads to Znus. So Duma means a woman who there's a lot of talk, or one another way of understanding it is that there's rumors about her that she was Mezana. So two ways of understanding it. Either people are speaking that she's Mezana, or she's someone who speaks and thereby leads to Znus. Either way, that is what a Duma is. Va'al Yisa, better to marry a Duma, Va'al Yisa Bas Duma. But to marry the daughter of a Duma is even worse. Shezu Bami Tipa Kshera. The one who was Mezana, let's say the grandmother, might have been a full-fledged Kshera. Vezu, but the daughter, Bami Tipa Psula. The daughter of a Duma came from a Tipa Psula. So the Gemara points out that a very, very important thing to be careful about the ancestry of the individual itself, to the point that Shmuel was Mechadesh. We're going to see Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, but Shmuel went so far as to say it's better to marry the Mezana herself than the child. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yisa Adam Baz Duma Val Yisa Duma Shezu Omedes Becheskes Kashrus Vezu Eino Omedes Becheskes Kashrus. Rabbi Yochanan says it's better to marry the child, but not the woman who already has lost her Cheskas Kashrus. Notice, over here we're talking about someone who there was only alleged Znus. We're not talking about an individual who had actually been Mezana. The Gemara continues and asks, Meisive, five lines from the top, Nois Adam Duma. We learned in a Braisa, the Feirish, that the halach is that you should, that you can marry a Duma. The Gemara answers, no, this would not be a Raya, that the opinion that's correct is Shmuel against Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, says the Gemara, no Raya at all. Amarava, V'tizbra, Nose Lichatchila. Does Nose mean Lichatchila? El Imnasa. But rather, if he married, so then the Braisa tells us halach. So Rava teaches us that you have to change the lashon of Braisa. It can't mean that an Adam should marry a Duma lechatchila. El Imnasa Tani. It means bidyevet. If that's so, Tananami Bas Duma. So then you have to say that our case is talking about a Bas Duma. In other words, that Rava says, change the whole gear. So if already you have to change the lashon, it's not no say it's lechatchila, but rather im, so then maybe you also change another part of the gear, so just say bas duma. Ve'ilchasa, the Gemara comes out lahalacha, what I think many of us would have thought of, and that is closer to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan than Shmuel. Ve'ilchasa yisa adam bas duma val yisa duma. If a man had to choose between the two, better to marry the offspring of a woman in zuchshash zanos. Why? The Tanur of Tachlifa bar Marava commanded Rabbi Avo, Isha Mizane Boneha Ksherim. A woman who there is alleged Znus, her children are still Ksherim. This is a very important rule, which Bli Neder will discuss in the Halacha portion as well. Roiv Be'ilos Achar Abal, that even if Chatzachli, a woman is Mizane, still, we don't assume that Rov of the Be'ilos were done with someone who was Aser to her, and that she was over Ashish, but rather we assume that the offspring comes from the... Continues the Gemara with a new Shmaila. Boy, Ravam. Haisa Prutza B'Yoyser Mahu. Ravamram says, what happens, Rashi explains a Prutza B'Yoyser, that someone who is Mezana so much that we're Choshesh, that that maybe even her children that she had came as a product of Znus. So what will we say? Do we still say Rov B'Ilos Achar Abal or not? Gemara continues and assumes that if chas v'chalila the woman would qualify as a woman who's prutza b'yoyser, so then in such a case, then her husband would not be able to prevent her from being mezana, even to the point that the offspring would not be from the father. However, there's one thing that might prevent it, and that is if we assume that the biology is such that a woman only becomes pregnated, is only likely to become pregnated around the time that she's gone to the mikvah, then the husband, if he watches her for that day or two after she goes to the mikvah, so then in such a case, then we know that the child has come from him. It seems that in the time of Chazal, as we're about to see in the Gemara, there was a little bit of discussion of what was the metzias. When is a woman most likely to become pregnant? If we say that it's connected to the tefillah we're about to see in the Gemara, so then in such a case, then we would say that it's possible for the husband to watch even a woman who's prutza biyotze. However, there were some who assumed that it was closer to the time of her upcoming period, samuch levesta. If that would be so, then the husband would not be able to monitor as much, and hence there would be more of a chshash. Fleshes out the Gemara. Aliba demand amar eni shemitzaberes el samuch levesta lo tiboylach lo yada bavalom intila. If we say it's most likely for a woman to become pregnant when she anticipates her next period, so then the husband will not be able to literally minter means to guard. Aliba demand amar eni shemitzaberes kiti boylach. When do we have the shaila? Aliba demand amar eni shemitzaberes el samuch letviyasa. There was another mandamer who says that a woman only gets pregnated next to, close to the time of her tzvila. Mai. So what we say according to this mandamer? Kivan de yada ba natura mintala. If he knows about it, you could say that he's guarding her. Odilma kivan de prutza biyoser lo. Or maybe even he can't guard her because she's a prutza biyoser. Teku, the Gemara leaves off with a kasha. As a child I learned that teku is rashi tevas. Tishbi Yatarets Kushias Vabais El Yuanavi will answer our Shaila. This machlokis in the Gemara is a machlokis in Nida Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. This might be a small proof to what I've heard from one of my great Rabbeim, Rav Herschel Schechter, that there are times that the Gemara has a machlokis in Metzius, that the Gemara has a machlokis, which is just a question of that the different Amoraim, based on the signs of the times, were not able to know what the exact metzius was, when it was most likely for a woman to become pregnated. It turns out that today we know that normally an average woman who waits 12 days entirely, no earlier than 12 days from the onset of her period does she go to the mikvah. Usually ovulation takes place around 1450 days after the onset of the period, which is actually very much samuch l'tvilasa. That would be the second mandamer of our Gemara that we have a shaylov, and the Gemara leaves off as a teiku. It is interesting to note that Rashi in Dibra Maskel, samuch l'tvilasa, says, la'achar shetavla b'yom tvilasa o l'yom machar. So Rashi seems to say that it happens either the day after the tefillah or the day of the tefillah itself, which is very close to the signs that we believe today, maybe a day or two off. The Gemara continues a new topic from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had spoken about instances where Beis Din actually does part of the process of kinui on their own. How could Beis Din do it when a husband is not around? So the Mishnah says, and the Gemara will learn out its source, that if we have a husband who's not capable of kinui and stira, either because the Mishnah tells us, five lines from the end of Chavdalet Amid Aleph, that the husband is a deaf mute, or the husband is gone crazy, or he is incapacitated because he is in a prison. In all those cases, the Mishnah told us that Beis Din is able to be mekane on his behalf. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, that they could do kinui, that she could lose the ksuba if they would be steroid, but not to give her to drink. However, the Mishnah also mentions the opinion of Yasi, who says that she would actually also be required to drink if there were, after there was kinui of Beis Din, and then there was stira, as Rabbi Yossi in the last line of the Mishnah, aflash gosa likishiyatza bailumi beis asurit yashken. When the husband goes out, so then there would be drinking. Our Gemara now quotes a braisa that fleshes out the sources of this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanu Rabbanan, ish matam lomer ish.
ish. If you take a look in the opening lines in the Parsha of Sota, in Perek Hey, Halach Yud Beis of Bamidbar, Dabra Bnei Sol Martalem, Ish Ish Kisista Ishto Umoalo Vomal. Double Lush of Ish. Rabos, it comes to include Eishes Cheresh, Eishes Shot of Eishes Shimum, Rishahalach Bailulim Dinas Hayom, all cases where the husband is incapacitated. You might have thought that Bezin could also initiate the process of kinui and sira, even for drinking. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have another pasuk later on, a few psukim later, says, you don't have this double ribui, ish, ish, coming to include many type of men, which the Tanakam understands refers to the Bezdin, but here it says specifically, Ha-yish, the husband. Now, it comes to Ashkos, Tafka, the husband. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, we saw in our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Aflika, Ashkos, it's even to drink Ukuli. Shiyatza, Bailam, Beis HaSurim, Yashkenu. When the husband comes out of the Beis HaSurim, then the woman would have to drink. Now, analyzes the Gemara. B'maika Miflagi, we're 8 lines before the end of Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. Rabbanan, Savri, B'inan, Vikinei, Vehevi. The Rabbanan old, that since the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Yudalit, Vavar lav rakina vikine is ishto, that you need number one, vikine, and the safe of this Pasuk is vehevi. And then the husband brings the woman. But if he doesn't bring the woman, there's no kine of the husband, then there is no vehevi. Rabbi Yossi savar lo b'ina vikine vehevi. You don't need that particular process. Continues the Gemara, 7 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbonan. Asher tista isha tachas isha. The Torah tells us in Pasuk Choftes at the end of the Parsha of Sota, Zos Torah haknos asher tista isha tachas isha v'nit ma'ah lahakish ish li'isha. Here the Torah says, asher tista isha, the woman was nista from her husband. And notice that the word husband and the word isha, woman, is very, very similar. So the Gemara understands lahakish ishlisha comes to equate a man and the husband and the woman. For what halacha is it coming to equate the man and the woman? Amar of Sheshes kishem sheim hu suma lo hayimashke. This is an idea that we already learned earlier in our Gemaras on Chav Dalit Amid Aleph. We had this idea that just like if the man was blind, lo hayimashke, v'chsiv v'nela meini isha, that the husband was not able to see her being mezane, but in theory, if it would have been in front of him, he would have, but he suspected. Kachi imoisa suma lo hayisa shayisa. So the halach is if the husband is a blind person, there isn't hashka. So too, if she's blind, there's no hashka. 2 lines from Ban Ravashi Amr, kishem shechi geres v'kidemes, lo hayisa shayisa, v'chsiv v'hemin hakoyen et ha'isha lefnei Hashem, v'nas al kapel, kach, who im hayachiger o gidem lo hayamashke. Just like the woman has to be stood in front of the kohen, the pasuk says vehemid akohen, and if the husband is God forbid, if the woman is God forbid a cripple, then in such a case, then the pasha of hashkoa sota does not apply. So too, if the husband is in that predicament, the same halacha exists as well. If either the husband is blind or the husband is crippled, there is no drinking of the Hashkas Mesota. And same thing, if the woman is crippled and the woman is blind, even though the halacha of the woman being crippled is written beferish in the Pasuk, the husband is not. But we say, Ishvak also, that's what the Pasuk is telling us when it says, Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha, that's coming to equate the man and the woman. So both of their psulim apply for each other and will exempt and prevent the hashka. My bar Ravashi Amr kishem she ilemes loyse shosa. The chsiv va'amra isha amen amen. The woman has to be able to say the words amen amen. We discussed earlier towards the beginning of the Masechta what exactly words amen amen mean. Kahu im haya ilem lo haya mashke. So too, if he is a mute, it wouldn't be mashke because of the equation of isha. We now conclude Be'ezer Hashem the 4th parak. Hadran Allah harusa. We conclude the 4th parak and begin Be'ezer Hashem, the 5th parak. Be'ezer Hashem, we now begin the Mishnah of the 5th parak, which will go all the way to the end of our Amud. Kishem Shamayim Bot Genosa, We will do that Mishnah, and then we will return to a couple of Halacha L'maisa. Says the Mishnah, Shem Shamayim Bot Kinosa, continuing on with the subject of Sota, just like the water checks her. In other words, if all variables are equal, then the Mayim HaMa'orim will tell us, according to many opinions, not all, but according to many, the Mayim HaMa'orim will tell us if she was Mizana or not, that if she was Mizana, so then in such a case, then her stomach will fall out. If she was not, then she will be fine, and ultimately the Pasuk says, V'nixa V'nizra Zarah, she might even be blessed with special children. But that does not only apply, says our mission at the beginning of the fifth parak, to her, it also applies to him. What does that mean? We'll explain in a moment. Let's see in the words of the Mishnah. Kishem shamayim bo tkinosa, tach hamayim bo tkinosoi. Shenemar uvo uvo. The Torah equates the husband to the woman in this regard. What does it mean that the water checks him? So the Gemara will bring out that if the man did not follow his instructions, for example, the Gemara on Daf Zayin tells us that there's a prohibition for the man to have relations with her after Kinui and Stira. So then in such a case, the waters will not work if he doesn't play by the rules. Kishem Shasura Labal, continues the Mishnah, just like she is prohibited to the Baal, Kach Asura LeBoel. So too, she's going to be prohibited to the Boel. The Tosfos Shas and Daf Beis Amud Aleph pointed out that this halacha is universal, that any time a woman is Mizana, she's uttered to her husband as well as prohibited to the Boel. However, the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph does not teach us this halacha. We have to wait all the way to Chav Zayin on the Beis to tell us that the halacha is that not only is the woman usher to the husband, she's also usher to the Boel. The Tosfos Shas explains because the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph was describing what is the process of terms of a woman who her husband is Choshesh, there's Kinoi, there's Stira, and then she's prohibited to the husband. All this follows in terms of the halachos to vis-a-vis her husband. So the Mishnah sometimes does not mention all of the halachos vis-a-vis the Boel, and that's why the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amabez that's summarizing the halachos, and also has this theme of Kishen, also now introduces the Baal Ulebal. Shenemar Nitma'a V'Nitma. Chazal Darshan, this is going to be a focal point for the Gemara over here, as well as in the next daf, a very important point, that every time it says V'Nitma, the Nitma is coming to tell us a new halacha. So in the Parsha of Sota, so it says V'Nitma'a at least twice. It says more, actually, but Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says that we take Nitma of a Nitma to tell us that there are two Isurim, one Labal and Laboa. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Kacha Yidar Zechariah ben Akotzev. Rabbi Yeshua adds another variable that Zechariah ben Akotzev, an early Tana, taught us, Rabbi Omer, Shnei Fam Amur, Beparsha Nitma V'Nitma, Echad Labal, Ve'echad Laboa. This idea already was echoed earlier on. The Gemara now goes on, goes off on a different topic, which is Bo Bayom, and that on that day, there were other halachas. Let's take a look at Rashi, where Rashi explains that we saw that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua discussed the drasha of Zechariah ben Hakotzev, and now the Mishnah is going to tell us Bo Bayom, that on that day there were other halachos that were taught. What does it mean that day? Let's see, Rashi Ramasul Bo Bayom. B'Maseches Brachos Amrinan, the Kol Heichad Etani Bo Bayom, Hu Yom Sheshivas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah L'Nesiyas. Bo Bayom refers to the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was installed to be Nasi, Shenitz Rabu Talmidim, Shenatzu Rishus Lichanes Techol. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah followed after Rabbi Gamliel in a dramatic account, as described in the Gemara in Brachos, stepped down as the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "Kol Tam Chacham Shein Tochel Kibar Al Yichanes LeBeis Meir." Rabbi Gamliel's vet was a real stickler, and ultimately we see it didn't last. He did not allow anybody who was not consistent. His inside wasn't like his outside. He didn't even allow him into the Beis Medrash. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when Rabbi Gamliel stepped down, changed that policy. The Ribsa Torah Bo Bayom, and more Torah was actually increased. And there wasn't anything that was left unturned in the Beis HaMedrash, left hanging. Rashi now explains, why is it mentioned over here? Why did the Gemara over here now say the other halachos of Bo Bayom? Now on that day that they darshan, again, that day is following on the drasha that we had mentioned about two nitma'az that Rabbi Akiva had discussed, that Bo Bayom, there were other halachos as well that were taught. Why is it chosen to reveal them in Maseches Sota? Continues Rashi. Mira Beinai Da'at Rasha De Nitma V'Nitma Dil'il Nami Bo Bayom Havoy. That other drasha that we started out with V'Nitma was mentioned on that day. So these are another set of halachos that were taught in the day that Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah allowed more into the Beis Medrash, and there were many things that were revealed because of that. Bo Bayom Darsh Rabbi Akiva, entirely new halacha, entirely disconnected from Maseches Sota. The Torah tells us, in regards to Tuma, the halachos of Tuma, in Parshas Shmini, we have the halachos of the Tuma of a Kli Cheres, a earthenware keli, that we learn the following. Eina Omer Tame, Rabbi Akiva Darshan's, Eli Yitma. Letame Acherim. It comes to teach us that this Kli Cheres is not only Tameh, but has the ability to defile others. Limed al Kikar Sheni Shemitameh et HaShlishi. We learn from this that a Kikar, which is a Sheni Latuma, which is sitting in a Kli Cheres, take a look at Rashi Dibar Maska Limed, Lahachinok a Kikar Fishayim Matsu B'taner Shu Kli Cheres, it was sitting in a Taner that's a Kli Cheres, Shemitameh et HaShlishi, that has ability to make a Shlishi Bitruma, of Tuma, Bitruma. It has the ability to turn something into Shlishi. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is very, very sharp. Miyigla offer meinecha. The Mishnah comments that Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Miyigla offer meinecha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who will remove the dust from your eyes? Rabbi Yeshua felt that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had made an erroneous statement, which his own student, Rabbi Akiva, had corrected. Shahayisa Omer, you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, used to say, Asidor Achron Latar Kikar Shlishi, that in the future generations, or the last generation, will come to say that there's no such thing as a Shlishi Bitruma. Says Rabbi Yeshua, you said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she'ein lo bikra min haTorah, that there's no pasuk in the Torah, shutame, v'alo Rabbi Akiva talmidecha mevi lo mikra min haTorah. We just learned it. This was what Bo Bayom Rabbi Akiva was darish shutame. Shnei mekasher b'tzacha yitma, the Rabbi Akiva says not only is it yitma, but it's also able to be mitame. You could also read it yitame, as described before, that if you have a sheretz that was sitting inside a tanur, which was a cheres, and then the tanur became tamei, which became then a rishi l'tuma, and the kikar inside of it became tamei, and became a sheni l'tuma, it has the ability to be metame, mashka that touches it, which will become a shlishi l'tuma. That is another thing that Rabbi Akiva had darshaned on that day. Continues the Mishnah. Bo Bayom Darsh Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had another drasha. The pasuk says in Bamidbar Lamidhei, in regards to the midos of Eretz Yisrael, umeidosem michutz liir es pas kein ma alpayim mama ves pas negev alpayim mama ves pas yom alpayim mama ves pas zafon alpayim mama veir betavach ze yelohem migrishay haorim. Here we're talking about the layout in Eretz Yisrael of the Nachlas Levim on Yarden Yericho, and here the Torah spells out the nature of the Tchumim. Rabbi Akiva used these psukim in a interesting direction. That's one pasuk. It says, Kidma al pei mama, umikra acher amar, and there is another pasuk as well in that parasha, who says, umigu she'arim asher tinu lavim mikir o'yir v'chutza elef ama savi. The first pasuk we quoted said that when calculating outside of the city for an area that is designated for Levium, the calculation is alpayim amah, 2,000 amah. Yet the pasuk right before that, in Lamed Hei Dalet, the one that we just read, says that it's supposed to be 1,000 amah. Wait a second. Which one is it? Yev shalom alef amah shekvar nemru alpayim amah. Yev shalom alpayim amah shekvar nemru alef amah. Hakeitzad elef amah migrash. Alpayim amah tchum shabbos.
When it comes to calculating the migrash, the area that was open and designated for Levim, that's 1,000 amah. However, here we have a reference to Tchum Shabbos, that the other pasuk, when it says Alpayim Amah, there it's talking about how far a person from the city is allowed to go, that he's allowed to go 2,000 amos outside of it. There is a big discussion of what exactly it is, whether we measure it 2,000 amos from the edge of the city, or we measure it from the edge of the Megrash. That is a discussion in the Rishonim. However, either way, it's there. The one pasuk is talking about the Migrash, which is 1,000 amos out of the city, and the other, the 2,000 amos, is talking about the Tchum Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Akiva taught us. Rabbi Lazar Benoi, Shor Rabbi Yossi Aglili Amar, Elef Amram Migrash, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was of the opinion that's 1,000 for the Migrash, Alpayim Amos, Sados Uchramim. There's an extra 2,000 amos for the Sados Uchramim that were given for the Levim to have, that the Levim would be able to plant in the next extra area for Sados Uchramim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we do not learn from these psukim a makar of Tchum Shabbos being 2,000 amos. The Mishnah Sefer Hashem continues on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, about halfway, maybe even three-fifths of the way through the Mishnah. First word in the line is Amma. Another example of things that were darshan on the day that Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah was installed as the Nasi, and the Beis Medrash exploded with learning. On that day, Rabbi Akiva also made another drasha. When Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf, they sang a song. Vayoimru Leimar. It's definitely a double lashon. Vayoimru, and they said Leimar saying. Shein tamalom Leimar. You don't need to say Leimar. Ma tamalom Leimar. Melamik shal Yisrael oinim shirachav shal Moshe al kol dover dover kekoyrin et ahala. Bnei Yisrael would respond responsively to Moshe Rabbeinu. There are two different opinions in the Gemara, and that Lamed on the base, exactly what does that mean, that they responded. For example, one opinion of the Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu would say a perek, and consistently, Klal Yisrael would respond, Ashira Lashem. And one opinion in the Gemara said they would respond responsively. Those are the two opinions of how to understand the Davar HaKoron. So we'll discuss then. V'kach nemar lemar, says the Gemara, the Mishnah. That's why it says lemar. Nechem yomer kikorin es ha-shema. V'lo kikorin es ha-hal. Nechem yomer says that it's like Shema. The Gemara will give us a couple of explanations. We will choose now the explanation that says that when Tzibur davens, one person begins Shema and then everybody follows suit. So Moshe Rabbeinu started and all of Klal Yisrael followed suit. Boy Bayoim, last thing that the Mishnah will mention that also was expounded on that day Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, Darash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkinus. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkinus introduced something else. Loyov et Iov es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Iov did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elo Me'ava. He served HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Iov, Hein Yikdeleini Lo Yechel, Achter Achayel Panov Ochiach. Pasuk is telling us, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill me, I will still El Panov Ochiach. I will still look forward to his face. Badayin Adover Shokuloi. But it's still not entirely clear. Maybe Lo Yechel means that he's looking forward to Hashem. Loi being to Hashem. Or Eini Metzapeh, to read the word Loi as being no, not yes.
Hen yiktulu ni loy achel kilu loy, as my father always used to say, loy mit an aleph, loy with an aleph. This is spelled out by Rashi di Ramaschal loy. So that's what the Mishnah asks. Ani mitzapo, ani mitzapo. Talmud lomar. So we quote another pasuk in Yehuv. Rabbi Yeshua quoted another pasuk. The pasuk says, Chalil ali mastik etzchem ad egva loy asur tamuspi mimeni. That Yehuv says, will not remove my completeness from me. In other words, I will be totally honest and not blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not try to avoid him. So that seems to indicate that Yehuv was Ovei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'ava. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, however the Gemara points out, seemed to do differently. So the Mishnah said, Melavich, Melamich Me'ava, so he did it out of love. I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Mi Galo Ofer Me'inecha. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yeshua, like we had seen above, was tough on Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He says, who will remove the dirt from your eyes? You always used to say that Yehuv did it from Yir. The beginning of Yehuv says that he feared God. Rabbi Yeshua ben Orkinus, who is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who was a Talmud of yours, and this was Rabbi Yeshua's way of saying to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, even your grand Talmud already understood that he served that Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'ava. Bezer Hashem, the first topic for Halacha tonight is the Sugya Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, a very important and complex Sugya, of course, not Halacha L'maisa, just to give a basic background, the idea that Rov Be'ilo Tachar Abal, that even if a woman is Mezana, the Gemara said 10 lines from the top, that we don't assume that the child that she has, any offspring in general that she has, is from the man that she was mezana with. We don't assume that the child was a mamzer. Rather, rov be'ilo sachar abal, even a woman that's mezana, the majority of her bios follow the husband, and therefore a child of such a woman would be a kasher. The Gemara then goes on and asks, what about a woman that's a prusa bioser? A woman that is mezana very much, to which the Gemara says, that on that, we leave off as a teku. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Dalet, Sif Tezvot, we have these halachos. Says the Mechaber, Eish Yishish Yotza Le'akol Shoyz Mezana Tachas Baila. There is a call that a woman was mezana. V'akol Merani Machareh, Ein Choshirin Le'bonah. Mechaber in Dalet Tezvot, in Evin Ezer, tells us that we don't have to worry about the child being a mamzer, even if there is allegations that the woman was mezana. Why? It means the mechaber shirov be'ilos tolim be'bal. Even a woman who is mezana, we assume that still the majority is with the husband, hence the child is not a mamzer. We don't know who the father is. We could assume rov be'ilos etzla abal. Avol hi ba'atzma choshla mishum zona. But here, for her herself, we have to be choshesh that she's a zona. The kohen choshen lo midin Torah, and a kohen is not allowed to live with her midine Torah. The imbala adds the parentheses in the Shulchan Aruch and Dal Tezvav. Kohen choshen al banel shehim chalolim, and if her husband is a kohen, so then we are choshesh that the offsprings are chalolim. In other words, when it comes to the kohen, then we don't say that the offspring, we follow the rule of Rov Be'ilo Sachar Abal. The reason for that is even if the child is a kosher, once the woman was mezana, so then she has a din zona, and if she has a din zona, then children are going to be chalolim. Then the Mechaber concludes, V'im hi prutza b'yoyser choshen af lebanim. But if it's a woman that's prutza b'yoyser, our Gemara left off as suffix. Mechaber concludes, we are choshesh that the children are mamzerim in such a case if she's a prutza biyoser. Interestingly, the Ramah adds the following claim: umikol makom, nevertheless, if she's a prutza biyoser, hine menes lomer boner shem ksherim. she would be believed to say that her children are kasherim. Now, the Taz, this comes from the Maharam Padua. The Taz strongly disagrees with this psak. If she's approved to be yotzer, the Taz says that she would not be believed. And this is a machlokis that, of course, is beyond our scope. However, bottom line, a woman is mezana, then we do not assume that the children are mamzerim. This is halacha number one. The next halachic topic is an absolutely fascinating one. Again, also a very broad topic, which we'll just give the interesting strokes behind. In our Mishnah, we learned on Chav Zayin Amabez, the kishem. And the second kishem was, kishem shasur labal kach asur laboa. A woman who is mezana, she's usher to her husband as well as to the boel. There is a fascinating open question, which most poskim take one side on. However, there's some achronim and poskim that seem to have suggested a novel and very logical way of reading our Mishnah that would have a profound heter halacha lemaisa. And that is, what happens if a woman was mezana with somebody, but for a technical reason, we'll construct a couple of them in a moment, for a technical reason she is permissible to her husband. Does that therefore make her also permissible to the boa? In very simple terms, when our Mishnah says, kishem shasur labal, kach asur laboel, is that conditional? Just like a woman is usher to her husband, she's also going to be usher to the boa. But if she's not usher to the husband, the Rashash in Ksubis on Daf Tes Lamed Aleph argues, then in such a case, she will not be prohibited to the boa. What would be an instance? Let's say Chas v'Chalila, this is a case that wouldn't happen at all, but let's say today, for sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect everyone, Chas v'Chalila, a woman was raped. And then, the halacha is that if she's an Eishes Yisrael, she's mutter to her husband. What happens if her husband dies, and for some crazy reason, she is interested in marrying the Ma'anes? So in such a case, do we say, Kishem Shasura Labal? In this case, she was not also the Baal if she was raped. Is she therefore permissible to the husband? This is something that the Rashash raises. Similarly, quoted in the Shalos Uchuvos of the Ben Ish Chai, Shalos Uchuvos Rav Pa'olim, Chelek Aleph Simen Tes, he quotes the Shalos Uchuvos Shaul Umeshiv in Madura Tinyana, Chelek Dalid Simen Ayin Vav, that raises the following question. What happens if a man says about a woman, he was mezaneh with that woman? The reason he did that at the time was for his mishagas. Later on, in such a case, it could very well be a man who says that. We say on him, Shavya nafshei chaticha di yisura. What happens if later on the Shaul Meshiv dealt with the following shayla, the man then passed, the original husband passed away. And this man, all of a sudden, was speaking badly about her, was interested in marrying her. Do we say that the halacha is that once she was ushered to him because of Shavya Anafsha Chaticha Di Sura, so then in such a case, he had already alleged that this woman was Mezana, and she was Mezana with him. So then, from that perspective, she's ushered to the Baal, and she's going to be ushered to the Boel. On the other hand, in terms of the objective halacha, we don't believe this guy. Just because somebody out of blue comes and say, we don't say Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Yisura. Hence, even though in theory, according to the way he's saying it, she should be usher to him, to the Boel, but since she's not usher to the Baal, so then she never becomes usher to the Boel. This the Shaul Meshiv introduces as a possibility of a reason to be Mekel. However, the Ben Ish Chai disagrees with it in a long tshuva. Know also that Rav Shach in Sefer Aviezri also questions the position of the Rashash, and many, many poskim do not accept this idea, and they say that even if the woman, for a technical reason, we gave two examples above, was an Asr Labal, if she was Mizana with the Boel, then the Boel would be Asr to her, as found in the Shal Tshuvas Rav Palim, Chelek Aleph, Evin Ezer, Simen Tes. In contrast, the opinion of the Rashash in Ksubas. Daf Tes. There is one more Halach Lamaisa example of this unique understanding about Kishem Shasur Lebal Kachasur Leboel, where we mention that the position of the Rashash is that if she's not permissible to the husband, then she's Asur Leboel. But if she would be permissible to the husband, even if the Boel should be Asur, it's a product, one is a product of the other. In Evin Ezer and Simen Yud Aleph, Sif Aleph, the Ramah, according to the Beis Shmuel, holds, at least the way the Beis Shmuel understands in the Ramah, holds that the halacha is that a woman who is asura to her husband is prohibited to the Baal. However, an Ashes coin that's raped, so then in such a case, she's going to be asura to the Baal as well. However, the Beis Shmuel says, no, this is a Baal has nothing to do with this or Baal. Even though an Ashes coin is going to be asur to her Baal, she is going to be muteres to the Boel if the Boel is a Yisra. This would be a nafkamina in the other direction, where a woman is going to be asur lebal, but not necessarily does it result in the Boel, or do you say that the two always go hand in hand? The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvah suggests that it could very well be that the relationship between the two might be dependent on the two makoros that we have in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we have one pasuk that we darshan from the Vav, that the Torah says, "Those Torahs haknasus tishta isha tachas isha vinitma." The vinitma, the Vav Yisera, is going to tell us that the halach is that not only is she usher to the Baal, but she's also going to be usher to someone else. The other drasha we have is Rabbi Yoshua from Zechariah ben Akotov, that says nitma'a v'nitpa, each one refers echelabal, echelabal. It could very well be, if you learn from v'nitma, it's coming to tell us an ancillary halacha, that one is ancillary to the other, that when it comes to the Baal, so then by definition, she's going to be asur l'boel as well. The two are dependent on each other. Or do you say that they're two independent halachos? And if you say that they're two independent halachos, so then you come out like the position that we had of Rav Shach and the Shal Tshuvas Rav Palim, that the two are not dependent on each other. However, if you say the first Rasha, this I was happy to see the Chassam Sofer says, in Madura Tinyana, he says that Nitma Vinitma, then the primary Yisr is Labal, and the result is going to be Laboel as well. The two go hand in hand.